shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendrick.
What's the fan, man? It's on the floor. What's he doing on the floor? Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The truth is our bitch, and we certainly do welcome you here to our program, where we try to cover the waterfront here late at night. And with me is Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray. I apologize for the lack of information on the show log on our website last night. I was dealing with, as I had posted, the fact that I'd had very little sleep. What's the problem?
Well, you're going to, these personal problems that you have, Phil, I don't know that you should be explaining these. In other words, the audience, it's not their problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you can't get enough sleep, that's your problem. Well, one of the things about, thank you very much for your, God.
Yeah, being all insensitive, everything about it.
I was going to say, can't you have a little sensitivity?
Phil, as the man said in Cinderella Man, my blank is for my business, my heart's for my family, but my you-know-what is for my business.
Talking about balls?
Why did he do... Are you saying...
He's not saying that you have those. No, the line from the movie Cinderella Man is, my balls are for my... My heart is for my family, my balls are for my business. It's a very good line. It probably articulates perfectly the way every breadwinner feels when he goes out into the jungle that is this world of ours and attempts to make way, make headway for his family, tries to get out and improve the lot of his family in life, right?
Well, are you going to give the Gettysburg Address, or are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm saying...
I'm not giving a speech, Margaret.
Well, it sounds like it. And, you know, Robert does a great... Do the Phil impression.
Yeah, The Phil impression.
Yeah, Robert, he does a pretty good impression of you. Go ahead, Robert, do it.
All right. Well, see, my balls are for my family. My heart is for my family. My ball... Oh, I forget. What'd you think?
God, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good, or what?
It is dead on. It is absolutely dead on.
Well, I wouldn't say... Do it again. My balls are for my family. Let me try. Hold on. My heart is for my family. My balls are for my business.
Robert, that's pretty good, man. You know, you could get a gig...
How about you start paying me?
I pay you guys. Probably not enough, but I pay you. In fact, I pay you more than you're worth. Probably not enough, but more than you're worth.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So as I was saying, I apologize to the audience because and to my readers on the blog because the insomnia thing... It really nails me. I mean, I get insomnia like no other. I know that there's some guys that are awake. I don't know how people do this, but I've heard of people being awake for days on end. 3, 4, 5 days. You know?
I think those people are what... They're bipolar.
So they have a mania.
Yes. Those are people that can stay awake. And I had a very dear friend. She was... You'd have to go and you'd have to say to her, you've got to go to sleep.
Yeah, my mom was like that a lot of times.
What do you mean, Rob? I mean, Bud.
Well, you'd have to go to her and say, Mom, you got to go to sleep now. It's been like 5 days or whatever.
5 days, man? Are you kidding me?
No. And you finally have to go to her and say, Mom, are you going to go to bed? And she'd go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's a sad reality. See, a lot of people think that mania, the bipolar kind of mania.
Well, hold on for a minute. I was the one that brought up bipolar.
Right.
Now, you're going to just take that torch and run with it?
You don't have to be that petty.
I'm not being petty, but I brought up bipolar. I'll do it.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I don't have anything to say about it. It's just that...
Mark, well, then let me do it, okay? Because I got something to say. You're going to take the torch and run with it.
I was the... Well, never mind.
You going to go to the toilet?
No, I'm not going to the toilet. I'll let you know when I go to the toilet.
Well, that reminds me, by the way, David wants an alarm installed, and...
Yeah, I heard about that, and that's not going to happen.
Should I unplug it then?
Are you telling me you already installed an alarm?
Yeah, we've been working on it like all night long, and David said as long as she's going to go toilet, then we got to do something to alert the audience that she's leaving the room. Because a lot of times she whispers it and go down, I'm going to die. You know what I'm saying?
Would you please say that in English now?
Oh, my God. There's the racism right there.
No, you were mumbling it, Robert. Are you saying, in other words, David... Don't say anything. I want to just know if this is what you said. You're saying David called and said he wants a toilet alarm.
How dare you?
That's what he called it. He wants a toilet alarm.
Yeah, he called up, he said, you got to have a toilet alarm. That's exactly what he said. You got to. There ain't no alternative. Must have toilet alarm. No alternative, you know?
Must land at Beirut. No alternative.
I understand. Got to have a toilet alarm. No alternative. Okay?
Right.
So we've been working on it since about 2 a.m. We knocked off for breakfast. Then we came back and did more. Maybe knocked off for lunch.
Have you guys slept?
No.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't have insomnia or nothing. It's just we've been working on the alarm.
Jeez, you guys have been going at it, man, for almost 24 hours. That's nuts.
Well, what kind of an alarm is it?
Well, I mean, I can demonstrate it. We got the alarm plugged in?
I don't have it plugged in right now because we still have to do testing.
What are you guys putting in here anyway? No, hold on. Don't say anything. David calls up and says, I want a toilet alarm, and you guys are starting to work on a toilet alarm, and you don't have it done yet, and you're telling me that you may have it done, but you still got to do testing. What the hell are you guys installing in here, okay?
It's just an alarm that you'll be able to hear in case she's on a toilet.
She's on the toilet?
It's a multi-level alarm, man. I mean, once you hear it, you know.
Here's David. I just got a call. David, yeah. David, you're on right now.
Hey, Bill, that was my call, okay?
Yeah, I know it was your call. Do you mind letting me know about these things?
Well, I didn't think it was the guys are telling you about it right now.
I didn't hear about anything before we went on the air.
Excuse me, can I say something? Because I happen to be the target of this toilet alarm.
Morgan, all I said was put the toilet... I didn't even want you to have to be worried about it. I just told the guys, I want a toilet alarm and I want it now. I said, I don't care, don't spare any expense. And
don't spare any expense?
Well, yeah, because what we want is to let you know that she knows that she's going to go and, you know, go on toilet. And,
Well, there you go, whispering. Nobody can hear it. I can't hear it. This is why you got a toilet alarm, because no one could hear her saying anything.
Well, I mean, there's certain things you got to whisper, you know.
But I just heard Bud say that you were complaining about her whispering.
Didn't you tell me that you wanted me whispering thing? If I needed to use the toilet, and okay, I'll go ahead and say it, all right, so everyone is clear. If I had to use the toilet.
Now, Margaret, there's no sense in being childish.
I'm being childish. I love that. You're the one that's being childish. And you're saying if I needed to use the toilet, I can just say it out loud.
I'm just saying, no, I would rather you... You've been saying it out loud, you got audience, you're turning people off left and right. I said, when you go to use...
What?
Are you going to tell me you don't know what I'm saying?
There's a million people listening, man.
All right, the toilet. I want to have... Oh, my chest.
Take it easy, David, will you?
Baby, my pills.
You got it.
My pills, baby, come on.
You all right?
Yeah.
Maybe you ought to pull over.
We are pulled over.
What's all that traffic?
We're pulled over on the freeway. Give me the pills, baby. Oh, thank God. I don't care if it's saccharin, it's a pill. Now,
All right, look, I'll talk to the guys about this toilet alarm, and I'll get back to you, okay?
Wait a second, I pulled over on the Harbor Freeway.
So that's how it's going to be, huh? You're just going to humiliate me?
No, it was great. I didn't do nothing to do it.
What?
Margaret, hold on. I didn't know, he didn't know, he didn't know, I didn't know, and he didn't know.
That's six people, and there's only four in the room.
Right. And, so in any event, the toilet alarm is not your hang-up. David's a mental midget. I don't know why we need that. All you have to do, if you wouldn't mind, is hold it until we go to a break.
I don't like the term hold it. It's crude. And now you've got the audience out there going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, she's got to hold it. Yeah, well, what?
That's got to do. Got to hold it.
Women can't hold it. How many times have I told all of you, you men, women can't hold it? When a woman says she needs a toilet, brother, you better step on it. You better step and fetch. Excuse me, Robert, all no disrespect intended.
I understand.
But you better step and fetch, and I mean quick. Lickety split. Sorry, Robert, no offense intended.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying, Phil?
I'm trying to understand.
When I say, any woman says, I need a toilet, boy, you best run. No offense intended, Robert.
Come on now. Hold on for a minute. Boy, you better run.
I'm sorry. I was raised in the South.
You were raised in Pennsylvania.
The South?
South of Pennsylvania.
I wasn't raised south of Pennsylvania, but I was raised...
Southern Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Okay. All right, now that we've got all of that bullcrap out of the way, we'll be right back with the toilet alarm or something. We got another story here that we didn't get to last night. 666 was stamped on a W-2, and there was a Christian gentleman who, quote, won't sell his soul to the devil. He doesn't want that 666 on his W-2. What in Hay? We'll be back and talk about that and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth Toilet is alarm. Our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. Your life is made so much simpler, so much easier. You wouldn't even believe it. With a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, you are entitled to thousands and thousands of hours of downloadable full radio shows. Now, this isn't just the regular, you know, talk show. This is a radio show that has broken the... It's broken. No, it's...
Well, a lot of people think it is broken, Phil.
Oh, it's, thank you very much. We have broken new ground in radio satire and audio entertainment, audio comedy. Don't ask me, ask the thousands, millions around the globe that have enjoyed our comedy. Everywhere from Queen Elizabeth to, well, I don't know about her.
Well, some significant people.
Significant people. I don't know if any royalty has ever actually become fans. It would be nice to know if anyone is close to... the prince of whatever the hell that thing is, or, you know.
What do you mean?
I don't know, man. Is there any more kings left or anything?
There are, yes, some ceremonial... Are you trying to tell me? Are you serious?
Well, I just would be... do you think there's any royalty that... do we have any royalty... Never mind. I was going to ask if there's a royalty who has a backstage pass.
Probably some people that think they are, that's for sure, man.
Yeah, probably someone deemed their dog Prince something.
How dare... You know that I've got a terrier... Name Prince Sluggo. You know that, don't you?
No.
Well, that...
Margaret, how does he... What do you mean, Prince Sluggo?
That's the name of our terrier. Excuse me. I'm giving you fair warning. I'm sorry, Phil.
All right. I'm telling you, it's flipping me out.
I had Hebrew National hot dogs with the extra hot Gulden's mustard. I told you.
Look, if that makes you belch, the hot stuff...
Who are you pointing your finger at?
I'm sorry, Margaret. That was rude. If that makes you belch, the hot stuff, why do you eat it?
Because I'm hungry.
And you know when you come in studio, you belch.
And also...
All right, will you knock it off? Look, Margaret, with all due respect, you belch when you eat hot stuff.
Because of the interaction between the spices, God.
All right, I know there's a chemical, a biological chemical, whatever the hell they call it. I'm just asking you to hold off if you don't mind. Would you mind?
Yes, I would.
So you insist on coming in here and belching?
No, I do not insist. I'm telling you, it's out of my control.
All right.
And thank you for making my own personal bodily functions once again a subject of discussion on your foul... You know, Phil, I just...
Right. There you go. What the hell is that? What is that? Where are you going? Where'd she go?
What do you think?
Are you telling me that's the toilet alarm?
Well, yeah, I thought that was very good.
And you guys worked on that all night, huh? You worked on that, the toilet alarm, all night.
Yeah. We feel it's very good and everything about it. Here's Mr. Hall, by the way. He just called in because he heard the toilet alarm. I know you hung up on him and everything like that. And
well, what am I going to do about it?
What do you think?
What do I think of what?
The toilet alarm. Now, the guys worked from 2 o'clock in the morning all the way.
Well, you're going to be angry.
I know. I don't care if he's angry. Let me ask you a question with all due respect, bud, okay?
Surely. Ask me anything.
Thank you. When you guys were working... What's that for?
She's back.
I'm back.
You're back.
Yes.
Do we need an alarm for that?
Well, I thought we would put in a reverse alarm in case you get scared. You. A lot of times the people walk up behind you, especially in today's, you know, society, especially if you're on the radio.
Don't give me the long speech, bud. Do we have to have a return alarm?
No, we do not.
What is... You're going back to the toilet?
I forgot something.
You know, I tell you something, man. That's the most distracting thing in the world. If you got to have a toilet alarm... Yeah, David.
Don't hang up on me when I'm trying to explain the toilet alarm. Now, the reason why we have that is so you'll know she's going to the can.
Oh, is that right? Like I don't already.
Well, she doesn't have to announce it to 85 billion people. Okay? You know, I had her going, you didn't like that. And when I come on here and I say, Phil, it's the time alarm, you didn't like that. So I start screaming it, you don't like that. So we put in an alarm, you don't like that. We put an alarm to tell you when she's coming back, you don't like that.
Why is it, what is that anyway?
What's what?
What I heard.
The toilet alarm?
Yes, bud.
What is it, bud?
It's squirrels.
Yeah, squirrels.
Squirrels? Why squirrels?
Because of the whole squirrely nature of the show, but even more the squirrely nature of anybody got to get up and go can.
Hey, don't do shorthand, okay?
Don't do the shorthand.
All right. Anybody that needs to get up and go to the can is squirrely as many times as Ms. Gray does.
I heard that.
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray.
Take it easy, Mark. So you got a
Yeah.
And I signed off on it. I think it's very good. I think you should at least give it the next 24 hours. All right, bud, so, you know, with Mr. Hendry's approval, we don't want to piss off Mr. Hendry. Now, do we? With Mr. Hendry's approval, I say we go squirrel 24. Got it?
Squirrel 24, right. Squirrel 24, Mark.
Squirrel 24?
Yeah. 24 hours with the squirrel. Sounds like a good movie, doesn't it?
Hey, you're going to get all silly acting about it.
Hey, bud. You know something? It's one thing for you guys to put in the squirrel meter or...
No, squirrel alarm. Here she comes.
It's another...
I'm back.
All right, Margaret, you're back. So why do I have to have a squirrel alarm?
That's the squirrel meter. The squirrel alarm is when I'm leaving. The squirrel meter lets you know I'm back. What?
You're already telling me that you're back.
This way I don't have to... The audience isn't any the wiser.
Well, the audience is wiser now because they've been listening to the squirrel alarms going off. It was the toilet alarm.
I think squirrel alarm is a lot cuter. Excuse me. All right.
Okay, that's great. Let's just get back into the news, huh?
Thank you. Oh, God. Mike, the Hebrew... Can I just say, this is Margaret Gray for Hebrew National.
Never mind the Hebrew National. What did we drop there, bud?
I don't know. Names?
Names. All right, what names have I dropped?
The only name you dropped so far is Mr. Hall, and he's going to be really mad. Oh, you dropped his call.
I didn't drop his name. That ain't a name you're going to drop. His call? Yes. All right, 666 stamp W-2, Christian won't sell his soul. Many of you may have already heard the story, and you may be surprised as to my take on this. You see, years ago when I started in this business,
One thing, I forgot my purse.
Squirrel meter, squirrel meter, squirrel meter, squirrel meter. Okay.
I'm back.
Let me ask you a question. You know, you're yelling out squirrel meter. You're telling me you're back. What do we need the squirrel meter for?
Just to get you used to it, because you didn't know what it was.
You were misidentifying, Mr. Henry. If she's getting up, she's going to the can one more time. Let's go through it, all right?
Squirrel 24.
Right. Squirrel 24. Hike. When she gets up, go to the can.
That's a squirrel alarm.
Now, when I'm coming back, I give Bud the high sign.
And then I go squirrel meter, squirrel meter, squirrel meter. Squirrel 24.
Squirrel 24, hike.
What's with this squirrel 24 hike?
That's what the test. You know how I'm doing a beta test?
You know, I think you guys, the mental midgetry around here has just gotten even, it's even shrunk more. It's tiny. I'm telling you, it's tiny.
When you say it's tiny, Phil, it sounds a little...
Yeah, it sounds like it's phallic.
Oh, is that what it sounds like to you? You know, I got to tell you, if that's the way your mind works, I was talking about their brain power, okay? Now, I can understand the squirrel meter. I can understand...
Oh, my God, he's crying.
Phil, are you crying?
No, I'm laughing. I'm crying. I ought to cry. I can understand the squirrel meter, the squirrel alarm, all of that. I don't quite get this squirrel 24. Guys, don't turn this into some big government project, okay?
Just easy for us to communicate.
Yeah, no sweat off you.
It really isn't any sweat off of you, Phil.
All right, do whatever you want to do. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this 666 stamp W-2, Christian won't sell his soul to the devil. And why am I wearing a sweatshirt on the air tonight when this studio always gets to be a sauna? Why? Because I'm nuts. It was cold at the house. I came over here in a sweatshirt, and now I'm in a studio, and it feels like it's 85 billion degrees.
Good move.
Thank you. All right, we'll be right back with this story and more stories. The world-famous Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com. We got some news about our podcast. Got some news about one-man show. It gonna be good. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Squirrel meter, squirrel meter, squirrel meter. Rule 24. Yeah.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and truth is our bitch on the show. Come on, join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. Our one-man show where I will be on stage for you for the very first time in my life, in my existence, in my, you know, in taking up space here on this planet will be taking place this spring. We'll let you know as to when, where, how, what, who, you know. We're getting closer. People are getting excited. It's heavy, man.
Yeah, and you have a lot of, you've got a lot of preparation to do, a lot of editing of things.
Oh, yeah. We've got a multi, it's going to be kind of a multimedia thing. Our podcast, of course, episode 120 is out. It is available now on iTunes. If you go grab the podcast, subscribe to our podcast. It's free. We do have a daily free podcast. It gives you an example of what we have for you in our archives. And you can subscribe to it through iTunes. Episode 120 is out, and I believe it's Bob Green talking about, oh, this one, today, Bob Green was talking about having produced a cup, a mug, a coffee mug for the USA soccer team, and I guess he wasn't able to sell it.
Yeah, because they didn't, USA soccer team sucked beyond words.
Yeah, man, they sucked on skates, that's true.
Like anybody remembers, you know.
Well, I did. I was following soccer, and I still follow soccer. Or, all right, don't get upset. The French is soccer.
Yeah, soccer.
You are one lot.
Hey, watch it.
See this? This is a nail file, bud. Do you know what this can do to an eyeball?
Well,
Margaret.
I'm talking, I don't need that, jumping in the middle of my well-sculpted phrases. So would you please tell it?
Bud.
Yeah, well, what you said, suck air, sound like suck air.
Oh, baby.
Hey, watch it. Put that nail file away.
I want to file my nails later on.
Well, Margaret,
I want to file my nails later on. Thank you.
All right. Sorry. So anyway, guys, do join us for that. That is our podcast today, episode 120. Now, getting to the story that I want.
I'm sorry.
Squirrel alert, squirrel alert, squirrel alert.
You don't have to say it, man. I know I can hear it, okay?
You know you can hear it, but do you believe you hear it?
Yeah. Can you say that?
Turn that off. I guess Margaret went to the toilet.
Yes. Didn't you hear the squirrel alert?
Yeah, and I also heard you say I'm going to the toilet.
I did not. I said I'm going to the toilet.
All right. So in any event, folks, 666 stamp W-2, Christian won't sell his soul. Walter Slonopas was a maintenance worker for Contact Casting LLC, but resigned after he notified, or excuse me, he resigned after he noticed his 2012 W-2 had the number 666 on it. Now, I'm looking at the, I'm looking at it right here, and you guys can see, can you guys see the number 666? I'm holding up the camera here on Phil TV. Can you see it anywhere on that W-2? I see the headline, and I also see what looks to be the byline of the writer, and then the W-2 below it. I can't really see the 666.
Let me take a look at it.
Nah. Thanks a lot, man. It's crumbled up now.
Sorry, let me straighten it out. There.
Just straighten out better than that, man.
Look, just straighten it out, Mr. Rooney. I'm sorry. I'll handle it. That's fine.
Squirrel alert!
No, that's called squirrel meter, you jackball.
Sorry, squirrel meter, squirrel meter, squirrel meter.
Give me the thing. I got you guys trying to straighten this out, and I got a squirrel alert. Oh, excuse me, squirrel meter going on.
It is technically the squirrel meter when I go to the moon.
You know what we got to do? Let's just change the name of the toilet to Nye. That way, you can say, Phil, I got to go to the Nye, and we won't have to have a squirrel or a squirrel.
A squirrel?
There'll be no need for squirrels.
All right, so in any event, 666 was on this guy's thing, you know?
His penis?
What an ass.
I don't know. The man said on his thing.
No, it wasn't on his penis. No, it wasn't. It was on his W-2.
When you say thing...
Yeah, it's easy to misunderstand.
You ever heard of a guy getting a tattoo on that, by the way?
No comment.
Well,
no comment.
Okay, I just want... It seems like it's...
Seemed like it would have hurt.
No comment.
Okay, Margaret, no comment. You haven't heard of that.
No comment.
Anyway, it would seem like it would have hurt, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that skin... I don't think you're supposed to tattoo that, you know?
No comment.
Margaret...
The man that I knew in Cyprus. Weren't you going to ask me about it?
Well, I thought you said no comment.
I'm not going to start talking about a man's...
You know what we ought to do? We ought to have a penis alert. There you go.
That's strictly for me going to the can. How dare you?
All right, Margaret, I know all about your Greek lover. I don't want to hear about it right now because, frankly, it makes me ill with that whole cucumber sauce thing. All I asked was a simple question. I've heard about a lot of things, piercings. I don't know about tattoos.
I think a guy get a tattoo there, but you'd have to be able to endure a lot of pain.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. By the way, there's a new tattoo parlor up the street. Have you been in there, bud?
Yeah, I did. Those guys are good, man. They do some good ink in there. And they also put on a little bit of jail ugly, too, if you need it.
Jail ugly? Good God. What do you mean jail ugly?
I'm not saying jail ugly like jail, but you can make it look like you got jail ugly.
So you want to look like you've been in jail?
Not me. Some guys.
What kind of a stupid-ass thing is that? Why would a guy want to look like he's been in jail?
You know, back people down. You look badass.
Dude, either you're badass, either you got jail experience or you don't. You're not going to put on a bunch of jail tats and people are... You think that's going to make you tough?
Well, I'm just saying, you know...
You can look like it.
It doesn't...
Okay, well...
What are you saying?
You're going to put on jail tats, it doesn't mean you're tough. You're going to put on some jail tattoos and somebody think you've been to jail and then maybe some guy who has been in jail isn't impressed with your jail tats and you have to... It's a silly thing. Tattoos are getting out of control. I mean, I like them. And the guy, the kid, I'm not talking about the kid with the 49ers, because he's got this sort of, I don't know, he's got this kind of philosophy behind his tattoos. They, like, mean something. There's some cats that just go out and get tattoos. They don't know why. And I've seen some guys, I swear to God, I bet you they go home and they cry at night over the tattoos they've got.
Like what?
I saw one guy, he had a tattoo on his leg of it looked like Wile E. Coyote or something. It was really stupid-looking tattoo. All right, anyway.
Why do he's crying at night?
Because he had red eyes. I don't know, man. All right, so this guy, Walter Slonopas, a maintenance worker for Contact Casting LLC, was resigned after he noticed his 2012 W-2 had 666 on it. In the Bible, the meaning of those three digits is the number of the beast. And they're putting that in quotes, so I'm assuming the writer went and got that directly from the source. Slonopas believes that he can either keep working for his employer after seeing the numbers, or he can, rot in hell? What happened to the other page?
I don't know.
The employer hired out a payroll service and said it was there that the W-2 was produced, not at Contact Casting. Oh, he said, or go to hell. I didn't see this.
Who are you telling to go to hell?
I didn't tell anybody to go to hell. I missed this. The line says he believes that he can either keep working for his employer after seeing the numbers, or he can go to hell. Huh? Well, what's the difference then?
If you keep working for your employer, ain't you going to go to hell?
Yeah, if you keep working for a guy that laid 666 on you, don't you go to hell?
No, you doesn't go to hell if you're working for a guy that would give you the 666, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I'm listening.
All right. Then you quit and you can go to hell. But if you stay, well, you still go to hell. Let me see the story again.
Get out of here. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do. You go to hell.
I think what the man meant to say was he needs to show his allegiance to Jesus Christ and to his faith and quit. Or does he show his allegiance to the Legion, to the Prince of Darkness, to the Lord Incarnate of Evil, and continue working and use the W-2 and celebrate the monies that he has earned in a very dark and in a very disturbing manner.
Well, how do you celebrate the money you've earned in a dark and disturbing manner?
Just by saying, living your life. So you got your money, the 666, and you just walk through life slowly. You turn into the darkest, most violent-looking bars. That kind of thing.
You walk slowly. I got to tell you something. Here's my philosophy about this. And I've thought this out very carefully. Will you come on with this?
Hey.
Charlie. All right. Squirrel 24. Does Squirrel 24 mean stop the alert?
No, it means stop the alarm.
The alert? There ain't no such thing as squirrel alert. There might be squirrel alarm, squirrel alert when we talk about it, but it's squirrel alert, and then there's squirrel meter, right?
Squirrel alert.
No, I said squirt alert.
Squirt alert.
What's a squirt alert, man?
When the sprinklers come on outside, I told you about that because it's getting the car wet. And I didn't...
I'm going to kill somebody, man. I swear to God, I'm not even 40 minutes into this show, and I'm going to kill somebody.
Dude, I thought you knew about a squirt alert.
The only squirt alert you got... I'm not going to say, okay? So never mind.
What?
I'm not going to say, but it has to do with one of those movies I found laying around this studio. Do you understand, man, that I've got women coming in here and kids? People take a tour of the studio. I don't want your movies laying around. You understand?
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Mr. I didn't know.
You bring that crap in here? If you guys are looking at that crap on these TVs that are meant for the news and news alone, I swear to God, bud, I'm going to take your bike. I'm going to set fire to your motorcycle.
You going to set fire to my soft tail?
Yeah, I'm going to set fire to your soft tail. All right, the employer hired out a payroll service, so he basically told Sloan Aposh, you know what, pal, I can't help the 666 any more than I can help the woman I'm married to. You know what I'm saying, buddy, huh? I got to live with her, huh? Anyway, it seems that 666 stamp W-2 was the final straw for this guy at his job. Sloan Aposh became a born-again Christian 10 years ago. For a Christian who already encountered the number once, it was something he could overlook. Having it happen again almost 2 years later proved unsettling. That's interesting.
Well, so now, do you support his decision?
Well, here's my philosophy on this. I believe in separation of church and state, absolutely. And probably in this case, this guy would believe in separation of church and state, like separate my church from that, from that W-2. So I believe in really important matters, in really, really important matters. Say this was an important matter, which I don't think it is. You would say to the employee, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to suck on it, pal. That's just the way it goes. But this is one of those deals where you can find a workaround, you know? And I think when it comes to religion, especially in our society, you do separate church and state, but when it's when there's a simple workaround or there's a cultural tradition, like Christmas trees, to me, Christmas trees are very much a symbol of a seasonal event and not necessarily a Christian celebration. So I just think that every time we see that in a public square, we just, you know, just get out, any atheist, just take a walk, okay? Just get away from us for once. And this, too. I mean, you say, well, look, it's offensive to the guy. Issue him another W-2.
I don't think they can. I think they are numbered very specifically as to the payroll. To change that, I think, changes up a sequencing. And this man's number came up 666. So to use your parlance, Phil, I think he's just going to have to suck on that and swallow it.
I never... Oh, God.
Well, that's what you said.
Well, I don't agree with you, and...
Well, there is precedent.
Look, Margaret, I just think where we can get around it, we get around it, okay? And we say to a guy, what do you want to make an enemy out of a guy? You remember I told that story on the air, but here, this is a good example, all right?
Yeah, tell me, you were lying about it.
All right, take it easy. I've been telling a story for years that I was actually lying about. And I'll tell you what it was. I had a plumber come to my house. This is true. A plumber came to my home. At the time, I had a home in Palm Desert, California. And I had a sprinkler problem. I had the plumber come out. He fixed it. I wrote him a check. And I didn't notice that it was 0666. Now, the guy brought it to my attention. He said, I'm a Christian, sir. And he was newly arrived from Oklahoma. I'm not saying that that's why he was a Christian. I'm just saying he had that accent. I'm not putting it on for any reason. And he said, I'm a Christian, sir, and see that right there? And that boy, I tell you, that makes me nervous, you know. And he didn't say he didn't want to take the check, but he was dawdling over this thing. You know, he was just kind of like, he kept wanting to talk to me about it. So I said, look, I'll write you another check. The lie I told in the years that I've told this story, and it's now been 20 years, I said that I forced him to take it.
Oh, so you'd look like some big man hurting a poor Christian.
Yeah, that's it, Margaret.
Well, Phil, I don't think it's right for you. Oh, my God. Excuse me.
Bert! Row 24.
What? Nothing. Nothing at all. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
What about the story about the 666?
Take it easy. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, and are coming back.
Squirrel meter, squirrel meter.
Get out of here, will you? We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Coming up next hour, Herb Sewell is going to join us. I did not approve this title, but I suppose I'm stuck.
No, Mr. Hall said he liked the title.
Oh, is that great, Mr. Hall? I'm going to talk to him. I'll approve the segment. I want to talk to him afterward.
Mr. Hall said that you're talking too much to him at night.
Mr. Hall is going to get on the phone with me tonight.
Yeah, but Mr. Hall said...
Mr. Hall's getting on the phone with me tonight.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Hall, we'll call him up. But you know he had a condition... On the freeway.
Yeah, he felt pains in his chest when you talked bad to him.
Isn't that too bad? I happen to know that guy's got a healthier ticker than anybody. Guy's half his age, so don't worry about it, all right?
Well, I don't know, ma'am.
Didn't you hear that nut when he said, get my pills, baby, and she said, there's saccharin, he said, that'll do?
Oh, you know something? I did, but that might be a treatment.
No, it's not a treatment.
So you're saying he's pulling the old switchy-poo? You're saying that he's masquerading. You're saying...
I'm saying he's full of crap and that I want to talk to him when we're done with the next segment. So we have a segment coming up. Gee, that's relatively quick. It's only taking me 2 minutes to get into the topic that I wanted to get into right out of the break.
Well, don't look at me, Phil.
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry. It is my fault. I thought when you said Mr. Hall that the...
All right. What are you getting to the toilet for?
You yelled at me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Squirrel 24.
No, it's just not squirrels.
Yeah, Squirrel 24.
Guys, you don't need to do the Squirrel 24 code. All this bull crap is driving me nuts. I'm going to start to, you know, hurt people. Do you understand?
Yeah, but
I'm going to start to hurt people. I'm going to start to hurt people. There's going to be a news story. Forget about this cop that's on the lam. I'm going to be. And it'll say, radio personality Phil Henry couldn't take it any longer. Three bodies found.
Why three?
Because there's three of you.
That's dirty pool.
I'm the only guy in the world, man, that does a radio show that's forced to talk to one of his co-hosts through the door of a bathroom halfway through the show. Like 50% of the time. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking about the new Herb Sewell report. He'll be joining us next hour with the Herb Sewell Mother-Son Sex Report.
Very interesting.
It better be. So that will be coming up with Herb Sewell after the top of the hour. In the meantime, a couple of other stories that we do want to get to. This one's rather interesting. John Mayer, the popular singer, the popular singer, and actually a pretty nice guy, who actually said something nice about our show a long time ago, probably back when, you know, anyway, John Mayer loves to call himself a jerk. In an interview with CBS Sunday Morning, the singer looks back, not so proudly, on his past Hollywood loves and moments, including when he referred to Jessica Simpson as sexual napalm in an interview.
Wow!
He didn't.
He did?
Well, you just appeared out of the bathroom.
Well, we've decided that we will be intermittent with the squirrel meter.
Yeah, you said you don't like it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It did kind of shock me.
Is that a comment on my looks?
No, Margaret, it is not. It just shocked me that you suddenly appeared there at the microphone.
That's why we got a squirrel meter.
All right, you're going to have to find some other squirrel meter, man, because that one is like it's going to give me a heart attack.
Man, we got to find out. You got to know the people coming back. What do you want us to do, like have a little mouse fart?
Yeah, well, you want a mouse fart?
Give me five.
Yeah.
Get out of here with the five. All right, The blues rocker notes that he has changed since the days of his past interviews, although we can still remember when he played the regret card in a 2010 interview with Rolling Stone, saying of then Jennifer Aniston, "I'm the jerk, I burned the American flag, I basically murdered an ideal." What? He's also been linked with Jennifer Love Hewitt, Minka Kelly, and Taylor Swift. Most recently, he has been dating Katy Perry. But now on the Sunday morning show, he says he has become enlightened. It's very liberating when you finally realize it's impossible to make everyone like you. I wanted everybody to like me. I thought I was one shuck and jive away in every direction. The Grammy winner, who has spent much of the last year silenced by vocal cord surgery, confesses that getting over the negative reaction resulting from his media interviews was a lot harder than dealing with the granuloma, which is a surgery that you have.
Yes, it's surgery to get rid of vocal nodules on the vocal cord.
That sidelined his singing. I think that's very, very forthcoming of you, John. Good for you, man. Seriously. How about, you know, a little more free publicity in a Twitter feed? We'd like that, too. All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Herb Sewell joining us with the mother-son sex report. That is the most disgusting.
Well, Phil, I think it'll work.
I don't like it. Sex reporter, gonna come...
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. That's kind of an interesting design there, bud.
Yeah, got the wrong background there on the green screen.
Anyway, and welcome to our program. And we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch. We have going to start another podcast. I want to just very briefly tell you our website is philhenryshow.com. We're going to kick off a Milwaukee Lion podcast. But more importantly, I just wanted to give that to our line fan. More importantly, the Bobby Dooley podcast that we have been working on and telling you about will be debuting within the next 2 weeks. The Bobby Dooley podcast will be a celebrity star-studded podcast, Margaret. And you know a little bit about this?
Yes. I've spoken with... Hold on for a minute.
Why did you do that?
I've got you... You know something, forget it.
Are you coming back or what?
Yes, hold on.
Why does she do it like that?
You're trying to get the gas out, man.
Yeah.
Squirrel meter, squirrel meter, squirrel meter.
All right. Now then. Yeah, I'm hearing squirrel meter and I'm gonna...
Sorry.
Yes, I've spoken with Bobby and this is gonna be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. As you know, the names have been mentioned. Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Chong is going to be a lot of fun. Joel McHale is going to be a lot of fun. Patty Arquette, just wonderful. I love Patty Arquette. And she's such a marvelous actress and such courage, I think, going into a studio with Bobby Dooley. Because you know that Bobby, and I love you, Bobby, Bobby thinks that her you-know-what not only doesn't stink, per se, but smells of lilacs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Bobby the thing about Bobby is that while she does like celebrity, as we all do, as you do, Margaret, Bobby believes that at the end of the day, she's got more celebrity than anybody.
I think that's a very good way of putting it, yeah.
She is the star, and she's the star of her own world, and she is sure as heck the star of her own podcast. So this is a brand spanking new, and it's a Phil Henry Show first, the Bobby Dooley podcast, and debuting in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. Joining us right now on our newsmaker line is Herb Sewell. Herb is a, he's an assistant researcher, does quite a bit of writing and researching for a number of universities and places of higher learning. But probably the most important thing you need to know about Herb Sewell is that he was incarcerated for a variety of crimes, including violence and sexual crimes against children. as well as women. And he joins us on our newsmaker line. Now, he did, Herb, you did do 8 years at Atascadero.
Yes, I did, Phil. And I also saw the photograph that you took on your road trip there.
Yeah, I did. I took a picture of Atascadero's. There's a big sign out in front of Atascadero State Hospital.
And you put that on your website. And I understand. You know, I understand why you do that because we've talked so much about it. But Walter saw that. Walter Belhaven is the individual that I've spoken to you about.
Yeah.
And he asked me to ask you, please don't do that again.
Why did he say that?
Let me say this. Walter Belhaven, to the people who don't know. I know Walter. He's a wonderful man. He's a great card player. Does these botany lectures. Still does the botany lectures. But you don't want to... He's a serial murderer, and you don't want to cry. If Walter says, jump, then you should say...
How high?
What's that?
How high?
No. It's not how high. If Walter says, jump, then you should say... I can't remember what the answer is. But you've got to do...
Well, if Walter says, jump, the answer is generally, how high?
No. Not with Walter, it isn't.
Well, what is it?
I don't remember. I guess you're going to have to just figure that out.
Oh, that's great. I got a serial murderer saying, jump, and I got to say...
You've got to know what... I don't know what it is. But all I'm saying, Phil, is this. Walter would rather you not... No, he's not threatening anything. He'd rather you not put that up on the homepage because it makes them all... You know, it brands all of those individuals inside as mentally disturbed, deranged, and so on.
Well, aren't they?
Yes, they may be, Phil, but that's not how they see themselves. So Walter suggested that you do some photoshopping in the future, not now, but do some photoshopping in the future. He would prefer, and some of the other inmates have their own ideas, if you could put a nursery or some kind of the logo of a well-known nursery or a national park.
Well, what good is it going to do me if I stop in front of Atascadero State Hospital and put up a state park sign instead?
It's going to say that you were stopping at Redwood National Forest, something like that. I'm just relaying this from Walter Randall to me, I think, weighed in, but Randall is a mute. As you know, Randall's a mute, so he weighs in by way of written communication. He refuses to speak, or he can't speak. I don't know which. Randall Toomey, Walter Belhaven, Clifford Paris, who just now has been, just now was at the orientation center. The word Walter said was a lot of fun. Walter sent me very excitedly a letter saying that Clifford Paris is now at orientation and they are excited about having him there and we'll be welcoming him very soon. And
I don't know who Clifford Paris is.
Well, you wouldn't know who Clifford Paris is, but among serial murderers, he is he's a little bit of a celebrity.
All right, can we get off of this topic? Because it sounds like we're making light of something that's very serious, and I don't want to do that.
I'm not trying to make light of anything, Phil.
I understand. You were inside Atascadero for very serious crimes.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell my audience why we should feel good about having you, or at least comfortable about having you on the air?
I think it's a fair question, Phil. I would say to your audience that I was there for 8 years. I underwent a variety of therapies, some of them not very pleasant, you know, at the hands of certain individuals, electroshock, insulin shock, intensive psychotherapy, intensive psychiatric therapy. I also was the recipient, and I put that in as mild a term as I can possibly put it, the recipient, the receptacle, of a variety of psychopharmaceuticals as well as psychotropics. I also, as I mentioned, had intensive therapy. So after 8.5 years, I was paroled out to a series of halfway houses here in Los Angeles County, which is where I am right now.
All right, and we're not going to tell people where you are, but you've been staying out of trouble.
Absolutely, Phil, and I am just to tell your audience further, I'm well aware of the crimes that I committed. I'm well aware of the seriousness of these crimes, well aware of the damage these crimes did, and very committed not to reoffending.
Now, a lot of people might say that you are a psychopath and you don't mean what you're saying.
I understand, and there's nothing I can really say to those people except the proof is in the pudding. Rather asinine and I think very colloquial, but at the same time sort of hillbilly-esque and rather irritating cliche, the proof is in the pudding. What does that mean? I don't know, and in point of fact, I committed my final
act of savage violence after someone said that to me.
What was that?
That had nothing to do with the crimes that I was put in Tascadero. That was just a savage beating that I put on a hardware store employee who was questioning me as to why I brought back a lawnmower. And I said to him...
Oh, wait. You beat up a hardware store employee?
Beat up? let me beat up. Yeah, sure, Phil. I beat him up.
All right, so you put on a savage beating of a hardware store employee because he... What? Why?
Because he... How about letting me finish? Yeah.
You know, Herb, he never lets anyone finish. He does this with me.
Exactly, Phil. I think that you...
Don't... This is not like, let's criticize Phil, Herb. I'm in a hurry, okay? Tell me why you beat this guy, because we want to get into this story. The reason why you're on the show, which is the Herb Sewell mother-son sex report. Is that it?
Yes, that is it. That is it. And I think that your audience, you know, I think your audience is going to be, you know, it'll be a lucification, you know. It'll be a very edifying, you know. So, what did you ask me?
Never mind. Hold on.
Well, you know.
We got to get into this break here. All right, Herb Sewell with us from an unidentified location.
They ought to put on a locator, man, on Facebook.
What?
They put on a locator on Facebook. You could find him.
No, you could not if he didn't put it on. If he's got a locator, well, you mean a cell phone or something?
Yeah, on a desktop.
He's got to turn that on.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, Phil, you're very conversant with these things.
No. That's not a tough thing to know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show back with Herb Sewell in a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Herb Sewell joins us online on our newsmaker line as we talk about this new report that Herb's doing, the mother-son sex report. I think it's the most crude title for any on radio report.
I was assured by your Mr. Hall, Phil, I understand that you have, there are varying opinions here, but I was assured by your Mr. Hall... you know, that we might be able to get through at least one of these and share, you know, our elucidation, if you will, and our education on this subject. Now,
well, why are we calling it the mother-son sex report?
Well, it's because Mr. Hall, your Mr. Hall, said...
Yeah, my Mr. Hall. He's the guy that is the sales arm of this company.
All right, but he said that it was... and I tried to disabuse him of this. He said it was very sexy. That's what he said.
Well, he's a moron, okay? He's an idiot.
Well, I don't know, but I do think that when it comes to the older woman, younger man, even when it comes to that part of the human condition that is sex between an adult and a child, when it's the woman and the boy, and they are...
Will you quit talking like that?
Sorry.
God, what was that about?
I'm sorry, I got stuck. I think it becomes rather fascinating as opposed to revolting. You know, there's something revolting about a father-daughter, but not to a mother-son.
It is revolting to some of us. It is revolting to... It's revolting to me. It's revolting to me. It made me sick, okay? When I heard this story, made me sick.
Well, I feel I share your nausea. I share your nausea because I happen to know, Phil, as in my condition, in my shape, I did have to endure a specific period of 4 years with mother that I would say was anything but pleasant in that regard. Now, I don't want to tell your story, but my understanding is...
No. We're not getting into me. Do you understand?
Oh, I know that, but you told a... It was very interesting. So,
Did you hear what I just said?
Sorry. All right. The story that we have for you today here on Herb Sewell's Mother-Son Sex Report, I know that at one point, Mr. Dickman, you said we are going to have an open and everything.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Sewell. We'll have an open and close and music and everything. If you can do it yourself, that'd be good.
All right. He told me that I could do it myself.
Do it yourself. What does that mean?
Well, Bud told him that we will have a produced open for this segment, the Mother-Son Sex Report.
You know, I'm telling you, the likelihood of this happening again is very low.
Well, will you let him at least do it, for God's sake, Phil? You've been blah, 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 blah through the whole show.
Excuse me.
Phil, I have to concur. I've been listening to your broadcast before I came on, and you know, I've got to tell you, it's just been your mouth. It's just been running. It's like diarrhea of the mouth. Would you please let someone get something finished on this here show?
Go ahead.
All right. Now, but as I understand, I do this. Here it is. This is what I think. Dun, 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 dun. Margaret, you could do it, couldn't you?
Well, I was thinking of Gone with the Wind.
All right, go ahead.
Da, da, woo, then you.
All right, and welcome to the Herb Sewell Mother-Son Sex Report, Margaret.
La, ha, ha, go.
Brought to you by your neighborhood, and then, of course, we fill in the sponsor. I see Bear Aspirin, or maybe Midol, I don't know what. And then...
La, ha, ha, ha.
All right, and that's the stinger.
Yes, that'll be the stinger. That'll be your out and your cue.
And then on to me. Good evening, and welcome to the Herb Sewell Mother-Son Sex Report. I'm Herb Sewell, if you didn't know. Tonight, we're going to be discussing, and as Mr. Henry just said to me, it's rather disgusting.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Are you going to do a straight report, or do I get to ask questions in this?
Well, I would like you to keep your involvement to a minimum, and I don't mean that as anything offensive, Phil. I'm simply saying that I need...
You're stuck again.
Oh, sorry. I'd like you to... I'm very, very sorry, Phil.
What is it I want you to keep... What is that all about?
I'm trying to emphasize... I emphasize my way. Margaret emphasizes her way. Bud, he uses hand signals. Robert, he makes his mark.
I get it. All right, go ahead.
All right. So I'm trying to minimize involvement of the host, if you will, you know, because I want to try to just get to this myself. All right. A so-called mom-son drug kiss has sparked a wave of comments on the Internet on Thursday after news was released that suggested a mom had passed drugs to her jailed inmate son by kissing him, and get a load of this, Phil and audience, and tonguing her own son on the mouth. The news report by CBS News has sparked a wave of unspoken comments of people condemning the mother not only for supplying narcotics to her son, which of course is in and of itself a horrible, horrible crime, but also for the manner in which she passed them to him. The son, a 30-year-old inmate at Yates County, was reportedly passed the drugs through mouth-to-mouth against my mother.
All right, hold on for just a minute.
Yes.
You're doing this David Brinkley thing now, man.
You're doing this David Brinkley thing now, man. What, can you...
Yeah, I can help you with that. You're going... You're not even making the words clear.
Yeah, you're popping the words, Herb, and...
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. I'm sorry.
Just take that paragraph again.
All right. The son, a 30-year-old inmate at Gates County, was reportedly passed the drugs through a mouth-to-mouth kiss by his mother in an attempt to evade officials watching nearby. I'm Herb Sewell, and here's a Herb Sewell comment. Having lived through the pure torment and hell of 4 years with mother in a bungalow in northern Baja, California, right after mother and I left the United States for a number of years so that she could evade my own father and at the same time have me to herself, I know what this young man is going through. At some point, of course, you see mother as everything. Mother is not only mother. Mother is wife. Mother is lover. Mother is confidant. Mother is mother. Mother, 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 all the time. All the live long day. Mother, mother, mother. And so, in many ways, I'm getting nostalgic now.
All right, Herb, you're drifting. You're drifting, man.
I'm drifting, yeah.
You're drifting, you know. Just stay with it, baby.
Stay with it, baby.
Stay with it, baby. Now, this is very interesting. This is very interesting. You and your mother, she took you to Mexico.
Yes. In order to get away from father, mother took son, which would be me. Mother took son and...
You can say me.
Oh, you're right, yes. In order, Phil, for mother to evade father, wife my father in this case, who wasn't your father, although it might have been, I don't know.
That's very good, Herb. But again, like Phil said, don't drift.
Sorry. In order for mother to evade father, she took me to Mexico. And for 4 years, we lived there in a bungalow on the beach just north of St. Fleet. We used to go to La Fonda and have the delicious barbecued lobster and listen to the folk tales and songs of the native village people. When I say the native village people, I don't mean actual fisher people from Baja. I mean the members of village people who had come down to stay for a weekend. This is just a joke.
All right, let's knock off the humor and just, you know.
Fine. So the end result, Phil, was that, yes, I was.
All right, hold on for a minute. This is getting us nowhere, okay?
Phil, would you let Herb finish?
I can assure you, Mr. Andre. Yeah.
No. Just, I don't like the whole report thing. I want to ask questions, okay?
Well, is it still going to be called the Herb Sewell Mother's Son? Excuse me.
Yes?
Is it still going to be called the Herb Sewell Mother's Son report?
Yes. Yes, Herb.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, Herb, no one's taking this away from you.
All right. Go ahead, Phil.
Herb, let's stick with the story. I think your background is great, but you can do that after you tell us the story. When we have a news story, we don't have all the facts.
Yes.
And we need to get all the facts out, and then once we have all the facts out and we discuss the story to a degree, then we can say, oh, you know, that, and then we can open it up to a larger context. Well, you know, it happened to me, it happened to people that I knew. You understand?
I understand, yes.
All right. So what we have here is a woman passing drugs to her son in jail, by way of a French kiss, okay?
Yes.
Now continue with the story.
And according to reports, the drugs in question, by the way, Phil, were Oxycontin. No report of whether the inmate was Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, the humor, you know, it slows you up.
It's slowing you a little bit, Herb.
I understand. I better take notes.
Yeah, let's take some notes. We'll be back, and we're probably going to want to change this whole report around.
Well, Phil, I think that...
Never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show back here in studio, and on the newsmaker line is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell, a researcher, does a great deal of research and writing for a variety of educators, and he's also a paroled sex offender from Atascadero. And that picture of Atascadero State Hospital that I put on my homepage a couple of weeks ago, I also think I had it on Facebook, right, Herb?
I believe it was, Phil. In fact, as a matter of fact, I believe that's where Herb is me, and I are Herb. I know. It's Walter Bellhaven.
Is Walter allowed to have a Facebook page?
Walter, no. They're not allowed to have Facebook pages at all. But Walter does enjoy Facebook, and not because of the prurient aspect that you might imagine it holds for him. Believe it or not, but Walter enjoys Facebook because he enjoys watching the train wrecks, as he calls it. You see Facebook today. I said to him, Walter, because I go and visit him regularly.
He's a good friend of yours.
Oh, Walter's a very good friend of mine. I wouldn't say he's a best friend, but I do keep in touch with Walter because Bunny is constantly in touch with me, and I should tell your audience, Bunny Bellhaven, Walter's wife. You know, and I can tell you something right now. You don't stay in touch with Bunny. She stays in touch with you.
Well, she's very active in his life, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. And Bunny Bellhaven, understand that Walter, they still haven't counted the number of victims. They don't know, and they're pretty sure they'll never know, how many people Walter has killed. And yet he's deathly afraid of Bunny. And
what is that about? Why is he afraid of her?
He's just afraid of her, and I don't try.
Well, it can't be because she's got anything on him. I mean, he's in jail, and he's going to be in jail forever.
It's obviously not any crime he's committed. There's a psychological hold that she has on him that has him quivering in fear,
But he did tell me he misses her so. He loves her very much, and they had and do have when there is. And I don't really know if they've loosened up the conjugal aspect of Task Darrow. But I think that they have had the conjugal visit. But he told me in quite, rather graphic candor, and it was graphic, I can tell you, and maybe too graphic. Every single second of a recent sexual encounter he had with her and her sister.
Are you kidding me?
What are you getting all shocked about?
Well, what is this guy, this Belhaven? You know, I was almost ready to think, other than the fact that he murdered a bunch of people, probably we won't know how many, that maybe he's a halfway decent guy and he's having sex with his sister?
Not with his sister.
No, she's... I'm sorry. I mean, sex with her sister?
No.
The recent sexual encounter with her and her sister...
You wouldn't let me finish, Phil. If you let me finish, I was going to say he told me in very graphic detail. Are you ready to let me finish?
Yes.
He told me in very graphic detail the recent sexual encounter he had with Bunny and her sister was outside planting a palm tree.
Oh, all right.
You see?
What has that got to do with anything?
Because it was, apparently, according to Walter, it was loud. One of the windows broke because his foot went through some kind of a clock radio that went outside. Meanwhile, Bunny's sister is down there planting a palm tree.
Oh, and you were going to tell me that, huh?
Yeah, I was going to tell you that had you stopped that motor-driven, that just goes and goes. Phil, I love you and I respect you, but the mouth on you, Edward Kemper, I think, is quoted as saying, if you ever want on the topic of mothers, Edmund Kemper is a marvelous source. I have not spoken to Edmund myself. We've had some correspondence.
Edmund Kemper, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we are way off course with this mother-son sex thing.
No, we'll get back to it.
Okay, but I just want to be, Edmund Kemper murdered his mother, as well as his grandparents, as well as a number of other innocent people. He is currently incarcerated at the other forensic hospital in California. Which one is that?
It's case right now. There is another one, different forensic hospital. Not anywhere near as good as Tascadero, state-of-the-art. Tascadero is state-of-the-art. It is quintessential. It is the capo di chi capi of nut bins. Now then.
All right, so anyway, Edmund Kemper murdered his mother, and one of the things that he said was that she talked so bloody much, and she just blah, 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 and I don't want to get in any graphic detail about Edmund Kemper, what he did to his victims, but he had a problem with his mother.
Well, he had a very problem with mother. I imagine he called her mother. I don't think he had a problem with mother. I don't think Edmund Kemper had a problem with my mother, meaning mother, but he had a problem with mother, as in if he called her mother.
He had a problem with his mother.
Yes. Phil, I look to you for guidance. I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know why David gave you the segment. All right, let's get some final thoughts here on this. We have a phone call from Glendale. We'll get to the phone call in just a second. Final thought, though, on the sex between a mother and a son. It's obviously, it's driven by the mother. It's a terrible crime. And you... You know, obviously you have feel ill will towards your mother.
I do, but no one else is allowed to. In other words, Phil, and even you, as much as I respect you and care about you, you know that I've threatened your life if you've ever said anything bad about mother.
Yes.
All right. And it's something I can't control. So in other words, mother and I spent four very intimate years in a bungalow on the beach in Baja. That should be something that a man looks back on fondly. But for me, it was disgusting. It was a disgusting 4 years of bathroom smells and bad food and mother's vodka breath. I can't even begin to tell you.
All right, let's go to a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. This is Vernon in Glendale. Go ahead, Vernon.
Yeah, Phil, how you doing?
Doing good.
I want to address the guest you have here tonight, Mr. Sewell, right?
Yes, sir, Herb Sewell, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Sewell, I also was, I would not say I was intimate with my mother, but I was dropped off at school every day by a mother that would pull me to her, kiss me on the lips, and I would say every other time, or maybe every third time, slipped tongue. I understand. And I wonder if you had any comment. All right, sir, are you going to hang up and listen? Or? No, I'm not hanging up and listen. No, I've got my time. I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing fine, sir.
I said I'm good. I'm not going to hang up and listen. I've done my time hanging on phones, and I'd like to be here to speak. I'm sorry. Are you done? Yes, sir. Oh, no. I didn't mean to chase you off the phone. Well, your name is what? My name is Vernon, sir. Vernon, my feeling is that when a mother drops a son off at school and then proceeds to intimately interact with him, as your mother did, the first question I have to ask myself, the first question I want to ask myself, excuse me, what are you laughing at? Oh, just a nervous laugh, that's all. Just,
He laughs nervously, sir.
Go ahead. I was going to say, Vernon, that the first thing I want to ask is, was this in full view of other people?
Oh, you better believe it, yeah. Bet your life it was. It's full view of my friends, and full view of my coach, and full view of what few females were interested in me. I think maybe there was one. Maybe two girls were interested in me at the time. I was in late elementary school, and...
Can you tell me, you say only two girls were interested in you. Who are they?
Well, one of them was my mother. And then the other one was a little girl in a wheelchair who had an enlarged tongue. And I don't... Oh, my goodness. All right.
A little girl in a wheelchair who had an enlarged tongue.
Yes, sir. That's... And then my mother.
And those are the only two females that you know interested in you.
Can I say something to the caller? Caller, this is Margaret.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't really know, as a young boy, who's interested in you. I'm sure you had a great many girls that were interested in you.
No, I did not. Because I asked every one of them to come over to my house and help me study. My mother wasn't going to be home. I said the only person that would be there would be my uncle. And we were giving him a place to stay because he'd just gotten out of prison. And I couldn't get anybody to stay.
Let's recap what you just said. I think it's very significant.
Yeah, did you say that you had...
I'll do it, Phil.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Vernon, you just said that you invited girls over to your house to study while your mother wasn't there, but your uncle, who was recently released from prison, and the girls all said no.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
That is amazing. Why?
I don't know. I've tried to figure that out.
That is something else.
Wait a minute. You don't even know?
Well, I...
Excuse me, Herb. An uncle that's just been released from prison...
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Now I can understand that.
Well, you better help me out, because...
Hold on for a minute. Mr. Vernon, is that right?
Well, my name is Vernon. It's Mr. Dozier.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dozier. Your invitation to these girls was to a home with no adult other than an uncle who was recently released from prison. Don't you see how that's not a very safe place to invite a girl?
Well, I've often thought about it. I mean, I've tried to put my mind at ease, tried to tell myself that they were just not, you know, they're not my kind of women. But when I think back on how I got rejected, you know.
Wait. Rejected is not the word. Rejected is not the word. You're talking about girls that are in elementary school, so they're subject to the parent's decision, number one. And number two, you're inviting them over to a house that no parent is going to think is safe.
In what way?
In what way? Are you listening to this guy?
Wait a minute. Don't talk about me like I'm not here. Mother used to do that.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, I know where you're going there, Vernon. Mr. Henry does it a lot.
I don't like it. Vernon doesn't like that.
Now, Vernon, hold on. I'll be your friend.
You be my friend?
Yes, I will. Mr. Henry, you have to talk to this man in a respectful way.
Wait a minute, man. What are we talking about, Frankenstein here?
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Hold on, Mr. Henry. I don't like being called Frankenstein. It's all right, Vernon. It's all right. This is Herb. I don't like being called Frankenstein. It's Herb. It's Herb.
Herb.
Yes, Herb is friend.
Herb, friend. Friend. Herb, friend.
Get out of here!
Well, I thought that was very interesting, except when they got to the Herb friend part. What was that?
Yeah. Don't worry about it. We'll be right back on the world-famous Herb friend. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You just
Truth
swallowed the L again.
Is our
Phil.
Bitch.
So I
the
swallowed
Phil Henry
my
Show.
L.
Soup.
good.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And when you visit our website, please visit us over at our online store. We have a variety of Marvy things. We've got our best of CDs. These are our legacy CDs. We also have some new downloads, the best of Bobby Dooley, the best of Ted Bell. And I imagine, Margaret, at some point we will have...
Dad, the best of Margaret Gray and everything.
Yes. When is that happening? That's very important. That will be a milestone moment when the best of Margaret Gray is put on this here website. Because right now, I think you're lacking, you know, the big three guests on your show. May I?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The big three guests on Phil's show, Bobby, Ted Bell, and yours truly. Now, Ted and Bobby have their downloadables, I think. Is that how it's?
Yeah, it's called download or downloadable.
All right. The reason why I do not yet have my own is because I have objected to the term download or downloadable or load. And I object to that term for reasons that I think you can understand.
But what I don't understand.
Well, no, you don't understand much at all, bud.
Look, there's no reason to insult him, Margaret.
All right, okay, I'll explain it. You want me to explain it? I'll explain it. But you know something? You're going to get angry now because I've got to... I'm sorry.
Squirrel on the run. Squirrel on the run. Squirrel 24.
Will you knock it off with Squirrel 24? What's Squirrel on the run?
He's going to the bathroom.
I thought it's called Squirrel Alarm.
No, that's called a Squirrel Alarm.
Never mind. You guys are driving me ape, okay?
No, that was called a Squirrel on the run.
Squirrel on the run. That's someone's going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
God, man. But what's it take to understand that, man? Want to spell it out?
Yeah, take a picture. It lasts longer.
I'm going to knock some sense at...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
And what is that supposed to mean, take a picture, it lasts longer?
Just a smart-ass thing to say.
Well, you... Oh, it's just a smart-ass thing to say, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, you do it again, I'll belt you.
Sorry.
What's going on out there?
Margaret, you're in the bathroom. Don't worry about it. Okay, so anywho, go to our website. We will have a best of Margaret Gray just as soon as we get finished, you know... Just as soon as we get finished selling all the other cool stuff. All right. As you've probably been hearing, I just will give you a tad update here. Chris Dorner's trucks spurs manhunt on a mountain for suspected cop killer. There is a guy that is wanted by the LAPD. He's a former cop. You've seen it's all over the news. And his name is Chris Dorner. And the reason why I'm doing this is ordinarily, like I said, we are shying away from hard news because it ain't really hard news. It's just... stuff. But in this case, there is a public safety issue. Now, there is a truck that was owned and driven by the suspected cop killer Christopher Dorner during his alleged rampage through the Los Angeles area. It was found deserted and in flames on the side of Bear Mountain, California this afternoon, with tracks in the snow leading away from the vehicle. So, I don't know. You know, there's a press conference that the police held and describe what that probably means. You can speculate. Does it mean he's on foot and he's now trying to hide out in the bush or in the wild somehow up in the mountains there of Southern California? We'll see. San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office confirmed the truck was Dorner's, but said at a news conference this evening that the tracks around the truck did not lead to him. All right, so that you can just forget what I just said.
Yeah, I'm back, by the way.
Oh, squirrel meter.
Get out of here with squirrel meter. You don't need squirrel meter.
Well, you didn't object to squirrel meter before.
I'm objecting to squirrel meter now. Squirrel on a run, whatever the hell it is you guys want to call it. Mr. Hall gave the green light on that. Okay, I don't want to make him out to be a liar. All that other stuff about squirrel meter.
Well, I just appeared again.
Yeah, you know, Margaret, you don't have to come creeping back in here because I saw you on your tiptoes.
I don't want to make any noise.
You don't. We don't run that kind of a show. You want to walk in, you can walk in. You want to walk out, you got to, I'd rather you stay here while we're doing a segment. But you don't have to come in on your tiptoes, man, like you're on rice paper and at,
Kung Fu.
Yeah, and Kung Fu.
I'm not familiar with it.
In any event...
What are you going to tell me?
No, I'm not going to tell you. In any event, getting back to the story, personnel from several departments and teams of dogs continued to search the area near Big Bear Lake about 80 miles west of Los Angeles, including door-to-door searches of cabins located there. Dorner is a former Los Angeles police officer and a Navy reservist, and he remains on the loose. Now, his truck's in flames. Wow.
Maybe somebody caught him, man, and set fire to the truck, you know.
Well, dude, if someone's got him, they'd let the cops know, wouldn't they?
Not unless they want to torture him. You know, like they did in Cabin in the Woods. They caught a guy and tied him up.
Well, you're out of your mind if you think that's what's going on. It's very creepy.
I highly doubt that, okay? Captured a guy and is torturing him.
Yeah, they did that. Kathy Bates did that.
Kathy Bates did what?
Kathy Bates tortured James Caan, remember? In a movie.
That was a movie. That's not real life.
In a movie. I know, but I'm just saying, people get her idea from it.
Okay, so what you guys are trying to tell me now is this guy Dorner's been captured by some mental case and is torturing him? Fine, I don't care.
That's against the law, man. That's torture. And the Constitution and Obama outlawed it.
Hey, we're not talking about torturing Al-Qaeda, man. So in any event, he added the search would continue as long as it was possible. However, a snowstorm was forecast for the area up in the San Bernardino Mountains, so they're going to have to get a cracking if they want to get a search going. Dorner was believed to have killed one police officer and injured two others early this morning in Riverside. He was also accused of killing two civilians on Sunday, and he allegedly released an angry manifesto airing grievances against police and warning of coming violence toward cops. God, this guy is messed up. Heavily armed officers spent much of Thursday searching for signs of Dorner, investigating multiple false leads into his whereabouts and broadcasting his license plate and vehicle description across the California highway system. Around 12:45, police responded to Bear Mountain, where two fires were reported, and set up a staging area in the parking lot of a ski resort. They did not immediately investigate the fires, but heavily armed SWAT team members eventually descended onto Bear Mountain from a helicopter manned with snipers to investigate, and they reached the truck. Also, today, CNN's Anderson Cooper said Dorner had sent him a package at his New York office that arrived on February the 1st, though Cooper said he didn't know about the package until today being Thursday. It's Friday now, I know, in some locales. It contained a DVD of court testimony with a post-it note signed by Dorner claiming, "I never lied. Here is my vindication." I don't know, but this cat has got bigger problems than lying. He's killed people, so it doesn't matter anymore, man. You know, they're not going to let you off. You know, Dan and I were talking about being so pissed off that you want to go out and kill people, and we both agreed we've been really pissed. And I've been pissed enough to want to, like, hurt people, but kill? You know, that's a big, big boundary to step over. All right, we're coming back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Stick around. Ooh, we'll be right back. Yeah.
Oh, that's slick.
We'll be right back. Hey, slick. Slick.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Don't call me slick.
Sorry.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and it's our final hour here with you, Monday through Friday from 10 to 1, 10 on the Pacific, 1 on the Pacific, and we get going to 1 o'clock Eastern as well. You want to find out where we are. We get a lot of questions. Where are you, Phil? Where can we listen to your show? Well, we have an affiliate list, and that is found at philhenryshow.com. We also are available right on our website with a backstage pass. You can watch and listen every night. We also have a podcast delivered directly to your pod thing, man, the next day. We have thousands of hours of archive material, but the Daily Show is accessed either through a local affiliate or by way of our podcast or our videocast here every night. Now, as to our live streaming at night, talk to the great, great, wonderful people at Bright Cove, and we are, as we said to you on the website, we are committed to providing a live video video stream of our show to all devices. Right now, we deliver to desktop and to certain devices. I think droids, some droids, right?
Well, when you say some droids,
some Droid means android. Let's just get, can we just get straight about that? Everything?
Yeah.
Okay. If you say we deliver all to an android.
Can we get our minds off of humanoids and robots? I'm talking about phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that I don't know. We deliver to some droids and some we don't. So in any event, we are going to be available on your iPhone and your iPad with a permanent nightly video stream shortly. And as far as predicting when, I just won't do that. I'm going to tell you something, though. And I said this to the good people at Brightcove. I said, you got to understand something, man. When we announced and we were streaming to mobile Apple devices, we saw our numbers of people actually watching our live stream at night shoot up, man.
They went up significantly, didn't they?
They went up huge. So when people get the word that we are streaming on mobile for Apple, there's a lot of iPhones out there, man. I've got one. And it's just, it's not realistic not to be able to deliver a live video cast to those devices as well. So that's what's happening. And I've been screaming about it for the longest time. And again, I don't mean to keep beating this point into the ground, but I think people need to understand this. Facebook, and I'll say it until, you know, people get sick of me saying it, but Facebook blew it when they did not take into account advertising on their website would not reach mobile phones. But the people that were buying their stock during the IPO when that initial public offering was taking place, they knew. And that's why they weren't paying the asking price of $38 a share. And that's why the price went down. And then suddenly Zuckerberg stood there one day with a cocktail in his hand and some beautiful girl, I'm sure, massaging his shoulders. And he said to her, you know what, baby, take a powder. Get away from me for a second. I got to think. And as the wind from the Atlantic blew across his curly hair and he looked down at the patio furniture being overturned by a nor'easter that was blowing up the...
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going.
In any event, Zuckerberg, I'm sure, went to his people and grabbed them by the lapel and said, you're not going to send me down the crapper, not like my father, no way. Now, you guys think of a fix and think of it fast, because I'm going in front of the stockholders tomorrow, and I want to tell them that we're available on mobile. And one of them quiveringly said, yes, Mr. Zuckerberg, we're sorry, Mr. Zuckerberg. Some guy who's like three times his age. And he said, well, make it happen, okay? And then he just threw them all out of his office and sat down in his chair, polished off the rest of whatever very, very expensive scotch he was drinking, and in came the blonde, and he just, well.
How dare you? I saw where you pointed.
Well, I didn't point for the radio. They didn't see it.
That is crude, Phil.
Morgan, you're making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, if you're not pointing it out, then nobody's going to know about it anyway.
Pointing at your you-know-what.
Oh, you know what? Okay, forget it. World-famous Phil Henry Show here.
You know, I really like the way you're describing Mark Zuckerberg, or whatever his name is, I don't know.
Maycom?
Mark Zuckerberg, or what?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg. I like the way you describe his life, Mr. Henry.
Well, I mean, I'm imagining, you know, it's right out of a movie.
Well, I'm sure that Mark Zuckerberg has a very good life. He's got a lot of money, but he has proven himself to be up to the task. That is what I find fascinating. This is a young man that is up to the task of managing a multi-billion dollar corporation. That's very impressive.
There's no question about it. You're not going to get an argument from me. Not going to get an argument from me. He is a very impressive guy. But he did, you got to admit, he really butchered it up, man, with that... So that's why the whole point of the discussion here is mobile, baby. That's where it's at. That's where it's been at. That's where it's going to be at. That's it. That's that. Man, I can't emphasize it enough. I'm just telling you. And people say to me, well, you know, don't worry about it. No, I ain't doing any of that, man. I want to go where other... I know there's a lot of radio shows that do video casts. I know there's a lot of radio shows that do a lot of stuff. I want to go where a lot of them aren't going. I'm not interested necessarily in having 85 billion ads on my site. I'm not interested necessarily in a lot of stuff. What I want is I want the media that will deliver to you. And to that end, by the way, Bob Bergantine's youth ministry, or not youth ministry.
Yeah, Bob Bergantine speaks to the youth.
Bob Bergantine Speaks to the Youth will become a regular feature on Phil TV very shortly, based upon many of the youth preachers that we've seen on television. What is television?
I don't know. You might have had a stroke.
Maybe you just had the migraine that makes you babble like a fool.
the migraine that makes you, no, it's television. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, it could be, though, the idiot migraine.
Don't call it an idiot migraine. It's a migraine, okay?
Well, it made that one woman talk like a babbling nimbecile. That's a nincompoop and an
Nincompoop and imbecile.
Yes.
If you spent less time thinking of ways to insult people that have migraines...
Phil, that is not it.
Hold on. If you spent less time thinking of ways to insult people with migraines and more ways of curing those people, we'd be much better off.
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. All right.
Will you say yeah?
Margaret, can I finish, please? All right. Here is a story. This is Chandra Levy. God rest her little soul. Chandra Levy, as you know, was murdered over a decade ago and was the subject of a manhunt that was quite significant, brought down a United States congressman. And, of course, it did consume our interest for a while in that fateful summer just ahead of the events of September the 11th, 2001. That was really the big story of that summer. And as soon as 9/11 hit, it was off the front page as fast as you please. But with the family and with the people that loved Chandra Levy, obviously it was not. The man eventually convicted of killing Chandra Levy, who was a Washington intern for Gary Condit and others in the capital city. The man convicted of killing her nearly a decade ago was finally sentenced Friday to 60 years in prison.
What?
Hold on. In November, a jury convicted Ingmar Gwandik of first-degree murder in Levy's 2001 disappearance and death, despite a lack of witnesses and no DNA evidence linking him to the crime. Levy's mother, Suzanne Levy, asked Gwandik directly if he'd been responsible for her daughter's death. He shook his head. "Mr. Gwandik, you are lower than a cockroach," Susan Levy told Gwandik just before closing her statement by using the F-word. Gwandik, wearing an orange prison... What, Margaret?
Well, isn't that... That's a little...
Not to me, it isn't.
You can say anything she wants.
She can say anything she wants, but don't you think that lowers her to his level?
Margaret, she lost her daughter.
I understand that, but I think there's a decorum that should be observed.
Are you going to tell a woman whose daughter has been killed?
Phil, look, don't... When you start to lecture me, I really want to ball up my right fist. And you don't want any piece of me.
Oh, is that right? Well, so you're threatening me with violence.
You don't want any piece of me.
All right, I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you this. Whether you think I'm, you know... She lost her daughter. Her daughter was murdered by the scum that was standing in front of her. And as far as I'm concerned, at that moment, she's entitled to say anything she wants. And I don't think anybody disagrees with me, with the exception of maybe you and the women that you hang out with there at Ted's Bar.
How dare... You know something, Phil? I don't have to stand for this at all.
Squirrel alert! Squirrel meter!
Yeah,
squirrel 24.
In the bathroom again, she goes. That, for those of you who are just tuning in, that's the squirrel alert, which is it's squirrel sound effects. What it means is Margaret's going to the bathroom.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say that because people are going to get grossed out now.
You've defeated its whole purpose.
What?
I said you defeated the purpose of it.
It's called a toilet alarm. How we ever got the squirrel alert?
Well, we called the squirrel alert because we stopped and called the toilet.
What?
They call a toilet alarm, but don't call a squirrel alert, because people think it's a squirt alert. Yeah, they're going to think it's a squirt alert.
A squirt, yeah, and that's another thing. The squirt alert is when the sprinklers go off. I'm telling you, man.
If you say squirt alert one more time, I'm calling the FCC.
And you got the filthiest mind.
No, I don't. I just know how people think.
A man can... I'm getting a headache. She finished what she said. Mrs. Levy finished what she said by using the F word against this guy. And I say, more power to you, Mrs. Levy. Gwandik, wearing an orange prison jumpsuit, told the judge in Spanish that he was sorry for what happened, but he added, "I had nothing to do with it. I am innocent." Levy's disappearance became a national sensation after she was romantically linked to then California Representative Gary Condit. Police initially focused on Condit as a suspect, but after Levy's remains were found in Rock Creek Park, police shifted their focus to Gwandik, who was already serving a prison sentence for attacking female joggers in the park in the same time frame that this young lady, Chandra Levy, disappeared. District of Columbia Superior Court Judge also rejected Gondik's request for a new trial. His lawyers had argued Gondik should be granted a new trial because jurors improperly shared notes in reaching a verdict. So there you go. She called him probably an F.U. or something.
We'll never know.
Maybe we will never know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Other news coming up here. Disney, the rabbit, and I don't know which rabbit, it might be the Alice in Wonderland rabbit, has been accused of racism. Again, the Disney rabbit accused of racism. This was brought to our attention by you, Bud.
Yes, I did find a rabbit, and I know a lot of people think it's funny, but I found about a rabbit.
Yes, you found out about the rabbit, and we're going to be talking about that.
It's a racist rabbit.
Allegedly a racist rabbit. It's not even... Rabbits can't be racist. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I don't even make a conclusion like that.
Phil Henry Show.
I'm back. I'm back from the toilet.
Okay. Squirrel meter, squirrel meter.
Interesting story here, and we have a gentleman on the line who actually worked in this profession. I wouldn't call it a profession necessarily, but he actually did work for a time as a park mascot. We're going to be talking to him. And I was talking to Dan Northcraft, our close personal friend and producer and part-time producer, part-time engineer, full-time lumberjack.
Yeah, he chased a guy out of the neighborhood who was touching kids.
No, he did not, you idiot.
That's not what he said.
Dan, we were talking about sexual predators, and we were looking up, and I said, is there any in your neighborhood? And he goes, I don't know. You know, I go online there. If there was, I'd kick his ass, something like that, you know.
I thought he said he chased him.
He didn't say anything of the sort. All right. So we were talking, though, about this. It seems Disney and other places, I don't want to put this all on Disney, but their mascots...
There's something wrong with those people that are the mascots. They're grabbing, they're squeezing, there's a lot of inappropriate touching. Hold on. Sorry.
Why even, you know, apologize, Margaret?
Phil, you are acting like a little girl.
Yeah, you are, Mr. Henry.
Wait a minute.
No, you really are. Every time I belch, ooh, Margaret, why don't you just accept it? Live with it, son. Live with it.
Yeah, the words of that sheriff and... In
spit it out, will you?
I mean, Raging Bull.
Yes, that in Raging Bull. Live in it, son. Live in it.
Hey, this is not the Dade County Stockade, and you're not a sheriff, and I ain't Jake LaMotta, okay? I have a right to say what I said. In any event, you were about to say?
You know what? Go to hell.
Bathroom alert! No good to have a bathroom alert if it's going to be dead air.
Don't tell me how to do the show, okay?
Come on, Phil. Hit your cues.
Hit my cues. All right. Do you think the Disney rabbit is racist? One family does, and they are suing Disney for it. I thought I'd read it like I can't read.
Yeah, okay.
Like I'm in adult literacy. Never mind. So one family is suing Disney for the fact that the rabbit, this is the Alice in Wonderland rabbit, the very well-known white rabbit.
That the one that takes acid?
The rabbit doesn't take acid. The rabbit's a hallucination.
So was Alice took acid.
I don't know if Alice took acid, but that was the thinking. All right. Any one family thinks that the white rabbit there, Alice in Wonderland's rabbit, is racist, and they have reported this to the proper authorities, and they're suing, man. They are suing big time. The family went to Disneyland, and their kids were really excited when they saw the white rabbit. Now, this is Disneyland. This is not Disney World. And I don't know why I automatically thought of Disney World. Maybe it's because it's located in the southeast. I'm sorry, I don't mean anything by that, folks. It doesn't surprise me that this kind of behavior is in Anaheim, California. Believe me, you know.
Well, that's Orange County.
Yeah, it is Orange County.
It is Orange County. You're right.
Well, what does that mean? I've got a great many friends in Orange County.
What it means, Margaret, is the fact that the
squirrel meter,
turn the squirrel meter off. It means that there is a perception, okay? The father of these children, Jason Leroy Black Sr., said he had wondered if they were not allowed to touch children. Here's what happened. The family went to Disneyland. The kids were really excited. They saw the white rabbit. The family, a black family, African-American family, one of the kids ran up to hug the rabbit, but it turned its back to the child. Their other child tried to shake the rabbit's hand, but it just pushed it away. The father of these children, Jason Leroy Black Sr., said he had wondered if they were not allowed to touch children, but later found out this was not the case. So what Disney did was offer them VIP passes, which they turned down. They also offered them $500 if they would sign a waiver, but they are going through with the lawsuit.
Oh, my God, that is blatant proof.
Well, wait a minute. Here's, you know, what's clear to me, said the attorney, Dan Gillian, is that I cannot think of anything other than racism that could be the cause. What it tells us is racism is even in places like Disneyland. Now, we're hearing this story from the family's side. This is the only reason, you know, why I'm saying this.
Yeah, it sounds like you're agreeing with the Disney representatives.
No, but I'm not agreeing with anything. I'm saying we're only hearing the family side because Disney hasn't talked about it. What I heard here was this attorney say, "I can't think of anything other than racism." I haven't heard from the man in the rabbit suit.
Well, you're going to hear from a man in a rabbit suit.
The guy that was involved, Robert. Don't you want to hear all sides to this?
Well, you're not black. You don't understand. This stuff happens all the time, man. All this stuff will surprise you. Doesn't surprise me. Okay?
And, Phil, I think we defer to Robert's opinion and experience on this, given the fact... Hold on, Robert. I'm speaking.
All right.
Given the fact that he is African-American, not you. I don't see any pigmentation there. Do you?
No, I don't see any on you either.
I'm speaking on behalf of Robert.
Blah, I can talk about...
Hold on, Robert. I'm speaking. I'm not saying that Robert can't speak for himself. I'm not... Don't go down that road. Don't say that I'm saying he's inarticulate because he's black. All right? Don't start hanging that on... Are you going to start hanging that on me?
No, I'm not. I'm waiting for you to finish. And I don't want to hear that squirrel meter go off either.
It's called a squirrel alert.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear the squirrel alert, the squirrel meter, the squirrel alarm, the toilet alarm, or the toilet alert. And I sure don't want to hear squirrel 24 either, Robert.
All right.
And the point that I'm making is, we're not black. There are a great many people who are. They're listening tonight, and they're saying, Margaret, Robert, you go. Okay? They're saying, Margaret, you go, girl.
Yeah, that's what I'm sure all the black folks are saying, because they all talk that way.
I didn't see. Now you're trying to make me out to be some sort of a dirty, filthy, crawling conservative like Kathy Lee Gifford. I'm not. And I say that with respect, Kathy Lee. I love you. I love Frank. I hope he's getting better. Frank had some, I don't want to get into it, but it's difficult for him to sit down, all right, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you jealous because you don't?
No, Margaret, I'm waiting for you to finish the story.
I'm done. I'm done.
All right. Okay, so in any event, we're going to have a gentleman, Mr. Lloyd Bonafide, is going to join us. He was a character, what was it, Bud?
He was Kangaroo Magoo at the Len Sifford Park in Northern L.A. County.
Could you get up to the microphone, please?
Sorry, he was Kangaroo Magoo.
Kangaroo Magoo was what?
That's a character at the Leon Sifford Amusement Park in North L.A. County in 1961. And he signed an out-of-court affidavit that admitted to the fact, well, it didn't admit, but it said it did admit. It's one of those.
All right, well, we'll talk to Mr. Bonafide when we come back here, who was a park mascot at the Leon Sifford Amusement Park in Northern L.A. County in 1961, and the character was a kangaroo?
Well, I don't know, but it was called Kangaroo Magoo.
It was a kangaroo.
Well, it might have been a raccoon, I don't know.
How do you know it's a raccoon?
Because I looked at a picture, it didn't look like a kangaroo.
It did look like a kangaroo, but a black and white one.
A black and...
Phil Hendry.
Oh, don't start crying, Phil.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. and online at philhenryshow.com. We're going to get on the air right now because we've been talking about yet another story having to do with a mascot that has done something, I don't know, inappropriate. This is the accusation of racism, which is quite different than groping. In many ways, it could be just as serious. This was a family in at Disneyland, and they do say Disneyland, which would be Anaheim, California, that was an African-American family where the children had run up to the White Rabbit, the White Rabbit character from Alice in Wonderland, and wanted to interact with this character and was basically turned away. What was that, Bud?
I don't know. I have to go and look. Maybe somebody throw rocks.
No, that was a sound effect or something. And so the character turned his back on these children and it basically acted in a rather rude manner, in a manner that certainly wouldn't endear you to a child. And that's your entire job there, I think, is to, you know,
make the children happy.
Make the kids happy. Yeah, absolutely. Lloyd Bonafide joining us from Alhambra, California. Mr. Bonafide, how are you?
Yes, sir. And I've called in to make the comment.
Yes, sir. First of all, I want people to know that you're here to, you know, sort of defend the hardworking people that are the support staff at these different parks, right?
Yes, sir. The people that work at these different parks, Mr. Henry, are very hardworking. And I can well imagine at Disneyland and at Disney World and the more prominent parks where the people work are very hardworking. And I say this, having been an employee of a entertainment complex such as Disneyland. This was the old Lee Sifford Entertainment Park, if you remember, was...
I don't, sir. I was born in 1952.
Well, Lee Sifford's park closed in 1964. It, at one time, was a wonderful, one of the number one entertainment parks featuring music, and probably one of the last to feature the troubadour types of shows, where the minstrel shows, where they used blackface, and of course that wouldn't be allowed today, but it was not intended in a racism. It was white performers would get into the dark makeup and bring back an era, if you will.
Okay, and so there was a lot of music.
It was primarily music. We had a couple of rides. There was a mule train. I wasn't familiar. There was a mule train. There was another ride that was the these were banjos, and it was a floating banjo that just a takeoff of Disney's Skyway, you know.
The old the sky buckets, we used to call them.
Yeah, yes, sir. Those old buckets that would go through the sky. These were floating floating banjos and floating harmonicas and this kind of thing.
And where was this?
This was in Lancaster, California, before they did the development there.
All right, now, Mr. Bonafide, you were a mascot, you were a married man at the time?
Well, I had left the Navy. I had been in the Korea War and came home. I was going to go home originally from Virginia Beach, Virginia. But I met my wife in Los Angeles, and I remained in the Southern California area. And we started a heating and plumbing business, and while we were a young couple, I took a great many different side jobs, and one of them on the weekends, but didn't last very long, was dressed up in a kangaroo, was one of the, what we called in those days, one of the kangaroo escorts, or the mascot escorts, but we called them in those days the kangaroo escort.
Okay, you were in a kangaroo costume?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and, you know, in 1962, was it?
Disney had already introduced the Chip and the Dale. I think they'd introduced Chip, Dale, Goofy. There was a number of the mascots.
Okay, and so... what was your experience? Because my understanding is you had a similar situation.
Well, let me explain. And that's why I called your program. You know, those suits, as has been described many times, are very, very hot. And in the middle of the summer, I can assure you that you sometimes run the risk of losing consciousness if you can't get out of that suit and get some air, at least to take the kangaroo head off. I had said it that particular day, it was a July afternoon, and it was a Sunday afternoon, so the park was very, very crowded.
Okay.
And I had said to my supervisor, a man by the name of Story Kang, K-A-N-G, that I needed to get some air. It was getting very hot. Mr. Kang said to me that I needed to complete my rounds. Now, in those days, you had to go to one ride. You went to the different rides, and you interacted with people, had your picture taped, and so forth.
Okay.
And he said, you complete your rounds and come back and see me. And I remember Mr. Kang is an Asian gentleman. I don't know where he is today, but I...
What was his name?
Story Kang.
Story.
Yes, sir. And I had just returned from Korea, and now I've got a guy who looks exactly like the last guy I shot. And excuse me for saying that, Mr. Henry, but that's the reality.
All right.
And he's telling me to keep this head on and to sweat like an animal. And you know what they did to our boys that they captured and tortured. You know that, don't you?
Well, I yes, sir. Let's keep... You seem to be justifying racism of your own.
No, sir. No, not at all. No, I worked through it, and they told us at the VA to work through it. I worked through it, and I came to a realization that, you know, I hated the guy's guts. There's no question I hated his guts, but not because of he didn't torture me. And I said to myself, Story Kang did nothing to me other than the fact that he's got that. And I would say to my wife, she'd say, how did it go today? And I said, the guy with the haircut. I kept on saying it, but the guy. And
what does that mean, the guy with the haircut?
Sir, Mr. Henry, I...
Bill, don't yell at the gentleman.
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you, but what do you mean the guy with the haircut?
He had the Mo Howard haircut.
All right, here we go again with the bull haircut thing.
No, Mr. Henry, I told you I worked through my racisms. And
you worked through your racisms?
My racism. I'm saying because you said there was a rabbit that turned its back on a black child in California, and I immediately went, I darted for the phone. My wife's here. She could tell you. As soon as I heard black child, white rabbit, no can do, and I know you didn't say that, but that's what I said to my wife. I said, there's a black child and a white rabbit, no can do. And I dove for the phone because I knew that my wife wanted to use it. She wanted to put together this bridge tournament. And I said, there's no way. I smothered the phone with my body. I literally got into a fetal position and called your show.
Okay. So, can I interrupt you?
Well, yes, sir, but I'm not finished.
I understand. I just want to... Now, let's talk about you. Now, you...
Well, my story doesn't end with Kang. Kang is a part of it, but there's a larger part. And this was the family that I told your Mr. Dickman about.
Yeah, but he said that there, what he got in trouble for was, exposing it.
Yes, sir.
So you had a problem with this. I thought your story was about this Mr. Kang.
No. Kang and I, we worked it out. I said, you stay in your jungle, I'll stay in mine. You know, it was like that Lee Marvin movie with Tashira Buffoni. And
all right, let's get to the reasons that you got into trouble.
All right, but did you ever see the Lee Marvin?
No, sir, I did not.
Yeah, where?
Yeah, pretty good. Lee Marvin's on an island and another guy.
Whatever, you know.
Whatever. It's called War is Hell.
Very good, sir. Let's stick to the story now. And what is going on there?
Well, I've got a tree that fell over. We had a high wind here. And I've got these guys out here until all hours to carve it up because I said to them, I wanted it carved up by yesterday, and they went ahead and did the pooch, excuse my language, and I said, okay, you just bought yourself an overnight shift. I said, you're going to be out here carving that up. And I don't care how many cops show up. I don't care if...
All right, I got the story. You got your... They're cutting up a tree.
Yes, sir.
All right. Listen to that.
I'm keeping the whole name. I said to them, I said, it's called Fairchild's Tree Service, and I said, you guys, you bought it, you paid for it. I said, you want it, you got it. That's what I said to them. And then I went back inside and calmly sat down and had a bowl of cereal. It drives them nuts.
All right, let's talk about now. You are a mascot in a park, and what happened?
I was a mascot at the Leon Sippard amusement park. And so one day a family came over to me. It was the same day that King had given me the hard time, and I'd said to my wife, the haircut, once again, the haircut. And
all right, so all this stuff happened on the same day.
Yes, sir.
But you didn't get in trouble for the haircut.
No, sir. I did not get in trouble for that. But the family says, would you pose with us? Now, I'm dying. It's so hot that I don't think I'm going to make it to the end of the shift. I swear to you, Mr. Hendry, I felt that this was the end. And I was thinking of my wife, and I was thinking of my daughter.
Mr. Bonafide, I understand, sir. I'm sorry that Mr. Henry's not been very understanding. Phil, please, just let me finish.
I've been understanding.
Mr. Bonafide, we're very, very grateful for your story. Will you hold on? We have a break to come and do.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Bonafide, sir, I'm sorry to upset you. Okay, we're talking with Lloyd Bonafide, who was at one time a park character. He was in a kangaroo suit and got into some trouble. We're talking about this in conjunction with a recent episode of a white rabbit mascot at Disneyland not wanting to shake the hand or hug black children, these little African-American children, members of a family that had come to Disneyland. Disneyland tried to give this family a park pass, offered them $500 to sign a waiver. This is according to that family's attorney. What Disney's stance is, we'll find out. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide in the finishing of his story in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The haircut, the haircut.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, if you grow up.
What do you mean if I grow up?
Oh, you and Dan looking for the...
Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Looking for the what?
You got some Donald Duck picture, and he's grabbing one of Christine Aguilera's...
Yeah, her butt bun.
Not her butt bun.
All it was an example, I think, a graphic example of groping that we... wanted to talk about. All right, Lloyd Bonafide joining us from Alhambra, California. At one time, he was a character at an amusement park, the Leon Sifford Entertainment Park in northern L.A. County, which closed in 1964. But you were a kangaroo.
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me the story of how you got into this problem.
Well, as I say, I apologize to your audience and yourself, Mr. Hendry, for... crying.
No, that's okay. It's totally fine. I'm sorry I wasn't more sensitive to it. You were talking about being so hot in that suit that you felt you'd breathed your last?
I thought that was the end of me, and yes, there was a moment when all I could see in my mind's eye was Kang, because he was the one who'd given me grief about going from ride to ride.
Okay, so this is this Mr. Kang, ladies and gentlemen. An Asian-American supervisor who forced you to keep visiting this before you were able to take a break and get that suit off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you've ever heard the poem by Rudyard Kipling of Gunga Din, as the hero of the poem is remembering this coolie, this Indian coolie that he had never really paid much mind to until he was dying of thirst. And then Gunga Din... this man that he thought was lower than him now offered him water. And he says, I didn't get any help from this man. I didn't get any help from that man. It was Din, 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 Gunga Din.
I remember the poem.
All right. Well, at that moment, as I was breathing and I couldn't get any air, all I needed was air. And I'm thinking, Kang, Kang, Kang. And I'm thinking, if I ever get out of this kangaroo head, And I said that in the courtroom, and the place started to laugh, and the judge told them all, if I hear any more laughter, I will throw all of you into prison, you scum. Because I had said to the judge, I was praying for death because I couldn't get the kangaroo head off, and then comes laughter. And
I'm sure that you were feeling very frightened.
I was scared to death, and all I saw was Kang. And I couldn't get the kangaroo off of me, and I couldn't get the kangaroo head. And I said to Judge Taylor, he was a wonderful man, I said I couldn't get the kangaroo head. And more laughter. And
I don't understand. What are they laughing at?
Well, three guesses. The first two don't count.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry Boyd, where you been?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
And
well, did you do this on purpose for laughs?
No, sir, I didn't do it on purpose. I was in very great distress. So I did the one thing I could do. The kangaroo costume has a pouch. And the pouch is an open vent where you can relieve yourself if need be. The male employees are using the kangaroo pouch. So I went ahead and I released the flap. And in those days, they didn't have Velcro. They had a couple of ties and a button and a flap, and I released it and went ahead and just pulled the whole, you know, I just pulled it out. But I was standing behind the grandmother, and it was a warm day, but I'm still a man, Mr. Henry. God forgive me, but I'm still a man. I'm still a man, and I was a young man at that time with all of the instincts and all of the feeling and the everything that a man can be. And she apparently said, for a good 2 minutes, she knew what was going on back there, even though she never turned around.
2 minutes?
They took a series of pictures for a family album. Give me a break.
And for 2 minutes, you're behind her, exposing yourself, and she's aware of this.
That's what she said. And I said, and then they take me to court. I said, for 2 minutes, she might, if she'd have backed up, she would have, well...
Yeah, could we be very, very genteel and very careful, very careful?
All right, I'll be as careful as I can. She would have impaled herself if...
That's not being careful, okay?
Boy, but you didn't spit it out right there.
Why don't you take care of your end of the island, I'll take care of mine, my friend.
That's not being careful. So I understand that you were ordered, you were, first of all, you were fired, weren't you?
Yes, sir, whoa there. Abercrombie, I'm Mr. Fitch, huh? That's what I always tell my grandson. Wait a minute, Abercrombie, you're forgetting Fitch. Now, let me tell you something. I told that judge, I'm telling you, I told that family I did not expose myself so I could get my giggles. I did it because I was dying. I was a dead man. And unless I pulled my genitals out, I was going to die. Hello.
I'm here, man, and I don't buy your story.
That is very rude, Phil.
You don't buy... What do you mean you don't buy my story?
I don't buy your excuse. I don't buy your excuse at all. I was so hot, I thought I'd unzip the flap.
They wouldn't let me go into the bunker. They wouldn't let me go down into the kangaroo dugout and get the head off. There were two dugouts. There's the kangaroo dugout, the main employee terminal, Groundhog Boulevard, the main employee terminal, the kangaroo dugout, and where ferries fly. Now, those were the four areas. What?
What's where ferries fly?
That was the egress and ingress for anyone in the elf. They had an elven musical number that they did. It was called Elvin's Forever or something. I forget it. It was called Elvin Viva Las Vegas. And it was Elvis only as an elf. And this was very popular, and it was at the Leon Sippert Park.
Okay, and there, where those actors went, I know they have these names.
Yeah, well, who do you think you are, Mr.? That's what they called it.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out which is which.
It was called Where Fairies Fly.
That's what they told the employees.
Phil, this was 1962. It wasn't like anybody was saying, oh, we better not say that.
Yeah, it didn't mean in those days you weren't going, well, that's offensive against the fairy generation, not the fairy generation.
Gay people.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hold on. I have to stand at attention.
Yeah, good thing, because, you know, we're out of time.
Well, are we going to talk to that man?
No, Mark. What do you got? You interested in that guy or something?
I beg your pardon.
Just the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock and 4 a.m. That's on the West Coast. Thank you, Dan, for being a part of it. Dan Northcraft is our producer, along with me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, join us at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and all of that there, okay? And we'll see you guys tonight at 10 on the West Coast. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.